It's running. Good afternoon. I'm Dave Campbell. This is the regular monthly meeting of the ACT School Board of Trustees. This is Wednesday, January 15, 2025. Present are myself. We have Pam Fuqua, a board member as well, and Ken Royal as board member. So we have a quorum. We also have Brittany Wright as a parent and son. And we have Bill Sullivan and Bob Zacchio. And before we start, just go over the, in accordance with Montana law, citizens have the right to comment on an item that is specifically listed on the agenda. They'll be permitted to do so when it comes up for discussion and action. And also remember that we're not to make disparaging remarks, harass anyone, make personal remarks, trade back and forth. And remember, this is a public meeting of the board, but it is not a like a public meeting for the public, but we do encourage public input. With that being said, we have posted the notice of this meeting in accordance with Montana law. The previous minutes are the recording that's posted to the YAC School website pursuant to our policy of 1420. So we'll start on continuing business, the maintenance report. And it's just a report. During the Christmas break, I inspected the teacherage with Artie as I visited with Sabrae, the teacher, about some plumbing problems over there. I met with Artie, showed him the toilet and the problem that was explained by the teacher, and asked him to inspect it, clean it, and also clean out the incoming filters and screens on sinks and heat it. I also authorized him to go buy a bottle brush to get the inlet water into the place so that he could clean it. We ran the hot water and both sinks separately and didn't see a problem. He did find 3 grains of sand. I understand from Sabrae that they've been checking the screens, so.
I haven't.
Okay. No. That he only had, he found 3 grains of sand in the bathroom sink, none in the kitchen sink. And
that's because Pam and I did look at that one time, and that was just before the board meeting.
Okay.
And there was stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we looked, and that's what we found after that had been about 2 weeks' time. He cleaned that out, checked everything, checked the plumbing, reviewed the interior. We went in another time together. I made sure it was clean when we left, and also we ran the hot water again and still couldn't get it to do anything. So it's an intermittent problem. As we've discussed, just have to run hot water in the bathroom sink until it runs.
And it hasn't happened anymore since I've been back, and I've been back a week or last week was my first one, I have not. And the whole thing for the cleanliness of the house and stuff is just, when you emailed me and asked if you guys could go in over the winter,
oh,
it was
yeah.
great. It was because people were coming and going without ever asking me or letting me know
oh, yeah.
in the house. So that's why I say, please let me know if you are going in.
I get that. We wanted to leave it clean, not tracking
yeah,
stuff.
Couldn't even tell you rims.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. I treated it like an apartment, just like you used to have those. On occasions, let's see, he also did over here, we had received a new sink for the hallway. It's a little awkward getting in, but we got it in. He installed it, had to get a few plumbing parts to put in on it. that they were Chinese and didn't fit American plumbing standards. So when you order on Amazon, I guess that's what you get. But it does work. He had to build a splashboard and a shelf on the back so that we could attach it back there and it'd be stable. The floor, we came up with a 4x4 inch squares at the base of each leg and drilled a hole, and so the leg sits down in it so that it can not move and kick proof pretty much, and it can be picked up and moved out of the way with a little spillage from the drain if you need to move the sink to get the access in the floor. So the floor is, it's got a leg sitting on it, but you just move the sink over, and because everything is kind of set up to be able to do that. So that being done, then Artie did, I think he checked all of the utility outlets in the building here in the teacherage, or in the school, and he replaced a couple more, and especially the one in the library next to the door. And then I had him, he's checked each one of the outlets to make sure they all work, and he bought a few face plates because some of them have larger than usual utility box outlets than you would normally find on a wall, so it's like they're designed for doubles but only have a single in them, so you had to buy the extra wide face plates. So that was reflected, I think, in a bill that he had. And I'm thinking that's all that I have for that, for the maintenance report. Now, we can proceed on to the technology report. Ken?
Well, basically, we're trying to complete all the property that's involved with technology, getting itemized in value. Was it for insurance purposes?
Yeah, we just have to tell them how much it would cost to replace the equipment that we have here, is what we need.
I'm learning a bunch. But we've almost had that completed. Should be probably this week. The other thing, I don't know any other issues we've had regarding, I think we're all caught up on that. But regarding the Title IX, of course, training materials available now for each of the board members. And thankfully, we've been on, what would you call it, part of a exemption? What's the term for that?
There's an injunction from the U.S. District Court in Louisiana, of which Montana is a litigant in, and they've obtained a injunction or a stay on the enforcement from the Education Department, U.S. Department of Education, requiring all of the Title IX updates, and so they've restrained that. So the legal effect is we stay with the previous policies that we already had. I think they're 2020, and we've already reviewed those, and they were updated in October of 2024 to add Ken and his contact information as far as our Title IX coordinator. So. And Title IX is the quality stuff.
But Title IX now, the 2024 has been, Kentucky District, Federal District Court ruled it was unconstitutional, so we're back under 2020 at this time, so.
So we don't have to have a boy-girl bathroom.
Right. So we just go by the old standard policies. Yes.
Bob, did you have a question?
Yeah, the policies Ken's working on, that's our overall liabilities for notice.
Mm-hmm. No, it's required of all schools, according to the Department of Education in Washington. They came up to, it's basically to augment, it's Title IX started out as, if you're going to have a boys basketball team, you have to have a girls basketball team. Okay, equality among the genders. Mm-hmm. And then now they're updating. We've had several updates along the way, but now we have a new update that included the transgenders and other people within that protected class. Well, Louisiana says, King's X, no. Now, Louisiana has, according to Ken, said, no dice nationwide. So it'll go up on appeal, and because everybody's lawyered up on both sides. All the government lawyers are going to be fighting with one another and getting have good parties when they get done arguing, like lawyers do.
Parties will be on us.
Yeah.
I didn't ever work for any of those alphabet agencies, so I can't say that I got to enjoy that.
Yeah.
So, any other? Okay.
Except we've gone through the attic, and there's a whole bunch of equipment up there that we're going to have to, Diane can probably explain that better.
Well, every time a printer gets a hiccup and doesn't seem to be working, then we go buy a new one and we don't throw away the old one. So there's probably six of them up there.
There's six or seven.
Which they probably still work if somebody wants to mess with them.
I'll take a look at
them. But we need to discard them or give them away or whatever. And in order to do that, we have to have a resolution and voted on the board to destroy or donate or whatever equipment that's upstairs that is just clogging up the whole storage system up there.
Ken and I had met, and he helped me on some of my stuff here during the Christmas break, and I helped him. Part of mine was crawling over everything up in the attic and yelling down at him because I had a loud voice. He's got a good voice. He has a good voice, but I was loud. And there was just a lot of stuff up there. Can we put it on the action list for the February meeting for a resolution on discard, and we'll see what we need to discard up there. And
if you get me a list,
there's
I
a
will
whole bunch of stuff up there, and I'll have to. I'll just basically take pictures of it, I think, and send them to Sabre, let her look at them, and say yes, we need it. No, we don't, because there's some of it's historical pictures, and instead of making everybody go up there and do, I just go up. I have the lay of the land now, folks.
Anything historical, we would keep.
Okay. I just want to
only the equipment is discardable. Anything that's stored upstairs, old records, anything like that, all has to stay because we already cleared that out. We no longer put any historical documents upstairs. What's there is there, and those all have to stay in perpetuity. That word.
I'll see if those
can yeah.
be parked in a quarter in a box.
I would recommend that they also get identified and brought down, and all of that stuff is put in the container in the same location because it's here, it's there, it's everywhere. And so when you're going to look for documents, you have to go to this container, you have to go to the attic, and so...
Well,
it's just my recommendation.
It's clean up there. It's fairly clean up there. It's just junky. It's hard to get around in there.
Is it cheaper to buy steel shelving or is it cheaper to build it? Shelves. Because what has to happen out there in that container is shelves need to be put up, down, along each side, all the way, ceiling to floor, and so that everything has its place instead of stuff just being stacked willy-nilly everywhere.
Put it on the list, please, for the action list to check pricing of shelves versus hand-built, but you also have to figure in somebody building them.
Right.
Okay, that would get we're down to the curriculum committee.
We just had our first curriculum meeting, and I am learning fast. Not fast enough, probably, but...
What are we reviewing? What schedule?
We were going to review math, but we're trying to follow along with the OPI reviews for what they're doing, and as it comes out, they're not going to have that done until 26.
Oh,
we don't want to do math right now, so it looks like maybe...
The first meeting, we never decide on what we're going to review. That's where I go over all the standards.
Right.
And
you don't follow the schedule anymore?
I didn't say that.
The review schedule?
What I said was, the first meeting of our curriculum committee meeting is going over what it does, what it's responsible for. Remember, Bill, we go over everything that we have to do in requirement. We look at the OPI's standards, what they're doing. They've shifted math to 2026. There's no reason to do that. By the next meeting, we decide based off of what OPI, because we used to say that we were going to review language arts this month, okay? Well, language arts is being revised, so why are we putting all our energy and time into reviewing it when there's another one coming up and that's what it should be? So last year, Trish and the committee and I decided that it was going to be, we were going to align with the state so that we were moving along at the same thing that they were doing. Because to review and spend a lot of time on looking at curriculum, only to say that the state's going to change it and do it new next year, implemented in the July of 2026, we don't do that.
Honey, can you send me that schedule? Because there's
OPI site.
Well, I don't know where to go to look for it. So if you could email that to me, the link, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Because I have to have that information for reporting.
It's in her curriculum committee book, right there.
All right.
So the new one will be put in there.
I need a copy of it, please. Thank you.
I'll send you a copy.
Okay. Okay. And reviewing the action item list, I think I got most everything on there that was maintenance-wise. But we have, I made some notes on mine.
Yep, it says, one of the notes is adding the sand strips to the teacher's porch. It says iced over now, but we'll put on in March. And then, between now and the February meeting, the board needs to get together to look at what we want to do in regards to the technology levy. Mm-hmm. And also discuss the inventory process. We discussed it at the December meeting and it was tabled until the February meeting. Also, David asked me to put school-wide Title I program recommendations from the teacher will be discussed with the board at their January meeting. And so when you guys meet, you need to meet in January. Well, you got a few more weeks left, I guess. But at that meeting, because it should be probably all these three topics should be discussed when you all meet. Okay? And just make it one big, huge discussion. So it needs to be technology levy, because Sabrina will need to have her input about what she feels is needed for her classroom and her children's needs, and then the inventory process and the Title I school-wide thing. I have a question about, okay, the sink is done, so I can take that off the list, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What about the, should I leave this hot water heater thing on here?
I think you can take it off. I want to add that. I'll put it in the maintenance during the summer so we can take a look at it at that time to see how it's doing. Because that would be a lot more repairs and time.
Okay. The Title IX books are done, so I'm taking that off. The floor thresholds.
Floor thresholds are here. They need a little bit of trimming and to be fastened down. Mary and I will work on that. But all is in line and all is moving forward.
Right on.
I'd like to say in that regard, thank you, Pam, for rolling up your sleeves and getting on that, because Libby Floor was supposed to have that done as part of their contract. They weren't?
No, it's not in their contract.
It's not.
No. It was an extra nicety as I was speaking with the guy.
Oh.
Yeah. I have a copy of their purchase order and invoice. It's not on there.
Hmm.
So because of the floorboards in here, they didn't need to put down the baseboard all the way around in here, so that saved them a little bit of money. And because this whole room is so crooked because of the settling of the school. Anyway, they saved a little money there, so Jeff said, we can buy those and provide those to you. So they
did.
Well,
that's good.
So they did, and we have them, and eventually they will get put down.
Well, we appreciate your efforts. And
thank you.
Knuckling down and doing it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Did we find out who put the small ones in?
The small ones were put in when they finished the floor. They've been there since August. There's no change on that.
Hmm. Artie didn't, and I didn't either.
There's nothing extra. Okay. Nothing else has happened. It's just the way they left it.
Okay, so did that cover the action item list?
Yes, I do believe it does.
All right, we're on this old business now, school accreditation process. We have until February 28th, 2025 to secure all of that, and I was looking at that. Most all of that we have left. That's according to the superintendent, belongs to the purview of the teacher. But I would like to get kind of a feel for your schedule on that. Sabrae, as far as do you need input? I know there's like community input, there is, and if we could set some target dates.
There's board input, but I have to look at the new stuff because it's got new standards. And so Susie sent me an email while I wasn't here, and so I'll reply to her. She said she would come up and support, but I request a board member to be here as well.
I'll be glad to do that.
Need to be here to give their input. And so I don't know how long it's going to take. Some of it printed off today, but I had a new student today, so I kind of put a hiccup in my admin day. So
I would like to come to that meeting too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what's going on.
If the whole board goes, that would be good. We can get input that way. Also, you can document that the board appeared and helped you on it somewhat.
Well, how about you just do that on the same day? Just make it a day-long thing.
I would prefer that it's not on my admin day. We do have a day, an extra sub day set aside. I really needed to be working on report cards and grading the final work because today was the last day. Well, when my admin day keeps getting impacted, it's pretty bad.
That's why I said if you can work out kind of calendar in some
Susie,
stuff and let us know.
And I said I'll get with Susie to let her know once I look at the
calendar. I'm just not going to be available the 25th through the 30th. Okay, that covers school accreditation process. We know the target date is the fail-safe date. You got to have it do or die. And we just don't want to put her in a crunch situation on that. We have the 2024 trustee, actually it's a 2025
I did it again. Sorry.
It's a carry forward.
It is. Sorry.
Anyway, that date, okay. I think the period's open for
till March
up
23rd
for my position as well.
March 27th.
Ken's, you know, that goes whether we sign up or not. Those dates are open.
What's the date?
It's until March 27th. We have to candidates to submit their intent to run.
Okay, so that's a public notice at this point. All right.
Did we put something out on Facebook and our website that the trustee elections are open?
I have not yet. I can do that, though.
Okay, we'll put that out as a special notice. Also, on the next item is update on the district clerk position posting. I've had really no real contact. I contacted the lady who originally expressed a little interest, and I contacted her again, and I said, we have a new board, if you can send us a fresh resume and information, and either to the clerk, whose address is on the front page of the website, which the person was familiar with, or send it to me, and we had been we've traded emails, and I have not gotten anything from her.
I have not received anything either. Someone did reach out to me last night, and I instructed them to go to the website, look at the job description, and she was asking a lot of questions that can only be answered by the board, so I directed her to talk to you.
I'm available. Yes, Bob?
In the job description, is there health benefits with the clerk's job?
When I was offered this job 12 years ago, I was offered health benefits, and I declined because my husband has great insurance, and I'm on it, and it doesn't cost him anything. And so I declined this insurance to save the school money. So since it was offered to me, the next person in line really ought to be offered health insurance.
It is offered. Then.
Yes, it is.
Be.
Okay, I was under the impression, and I've heard this from a few other people, that there was no health benefits included in.
I heard the same thing.
Yeah.
In
the clerk's job, and that's why a lot of people were not.
Oh.
Why?
That's what I was told too.
Well, tell them.
Yeah.
Well, no, maybe you should post it on your deal, so tell them that there's health benefits included.
Well,
that might change the
things.
Well, what you have to look at is the bigger picture here. Okay. The board can decide. We are a company of less than 50 people, and we only have one full-time employee at this point. And all the time I've been here, we've only had a handful of full-time employees. And by law, we do not have to offer health insurance.
That's right.
It is a decision that is made by the board, and that decision is come to by how much money do we have? Can we afford insurance? And that is, the cost is insane. It costs us $1,131 a month for one person.
If we have two people, does that go down?
No, it doubles.
No.
It becomes expensive.
Because the insurance that we have offers the same coverage to you if you're 80 as if you were 25.
I think the question is, if we have two employees, do we get a little break?
No, you don't.
Okay.
That's the question.
I didn't think so. And health insurance, Bob,
I'm just questioning the fact that...
Yeah.
If we can find a cheaper health insurance...
More applications for it if that was included in the benefit package.
Right.
That was one of the questions the person asked me.
$1,000 a year is an awful expense in the clerk's budget. So
that's a month.
No, it's $12,000 a year.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm confused because the board said yes, it was available. Diane says, I don't know. That's where I'm going. I'm confused.
Well, there's a possibility of offering that. It's the way the notice
policy
is couched,
now, yes.
It's based upon experience, and it's a negotiable item. That's the way it is. See, we've negotiated with the teacher, but... The health insurance is getting pretty...
Oh, no.
And the health insurance that we pay has always been paid out of REAP funds, and REAP funds keep going down because we are using more Title I funds. The more Title I funds that you use, the less REAP money that you get. So over the years, we have increased our Title I program, and thus, every year, our REAP money... that is appropriated for our school goes down because the formula is based on, okay, the feds are going to give you $20,000 for Title I for this year, but we're going to take away some of your REAP money. So it's a balancing act. So as you use less Title I money, then your REAP money will go up, but it's on a three-year average thing, just like the A and B. And it
average number of belonging and the number of years students.
And so until we start using less Title I money, our REAP money will continue to shrink. And that's what we use our title, our REAP money for, is we use our REAP money to pay the teacher's insurance, and it barely covers it. And it's...
Go ahead, Pam.
And we wouldn't be able to use REAP money for an administrative position.
That's not budgeted. In other words...
We go from year to year and have to make up a budget.
I got that.
And it's...
You know, and if I went to the Troy School District and they said, okay, we have $300,000 in teacher salaries, we also have $67,000 in teacher's health benefits. Okay?
Okay.
It's budgeted for...
We don't budget our teacher's insurance out of our general fund, Bob. We can't. There's not enough money in there.
We don't have the money to do it.
It is budgeted from a grant.
If a teacher is listed as getting a benefit,
yes,
there's no money for it.
Not in the general fund.
It doesn't come out. It's for. There are several sources of funds that we get: Title I, the REAP, and some of them you can spend on administrative costs, which would be a health insurance.
But there's some
funds we can't. That we pay differently out of these funds for the teacher because that's a different program.
And there's actually 5 state funded components to us. So we get our funding from the quality educator payment, the at-risk payment, so that's the title payment, correct?
Yep.
What do we get at the at-risk? Any monies?
You get an amount in the general fund budget from at-risk students. But what you're talking about...
What's an at-risk student on that? Because I thought that was the title one.
Nope. That's part of the... That is one of the components that the state uses to get money to schools.
Yes.
And it's called the at-risk student allocation. And it has nothing to do with Title I. It's a component that they put into the general fund budget if you have a student that is at risk that you need help with. But
I guess I'll research and figure out what that looks like to see.
Okay.
It's a very small amount of money.
Can we get the Indian Ed for All, the American Indian Achievement Gap, and the data for achievement, so for our infinite campus? Those are only 5 state-funded things we get.
Everything else is local.
Federal, but not much.
All of it's local.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless we up the ante as far as taxes, you know, we're kind of, this is where we find ourselves at. And
I've been saying it for almost 8 years now and reminding everybody as A and B shrinks, ergo, our general fund shrinks. And we run on a 3-year average for members belonging. So when you run for 3 years with 2 or 3 kids, then all of a sudden that year, once that 3-year gap is done, you know, it's been okay because we've had, okay, we'll have a year where we have 10 kids or 7 kids, and then we'll have a year that we have 3 kids or 2 kids. Then we'll get a bump again and get 7 or 8 kids. So that average has been holding out. But we've been going now for a number of years, 3, with lower student numbers. This will be our 2nd year of lower student numbers. Then if we have another year, then that 3-year average that they're looking at for is going to be super low. And you think your budget is bad now? Wait till you hit that wall, because the bottom is going to drop right out of it. You're going to go from being able to count 8 kids to only being able to count 3 kids.
Can you get with me and get me the years of where we're at right now? I just want to see where we're at on when the averages come out, please.
The averages are taken at the fall count.
I know, but I want to know where we're at in that 3-year cycle, I should say.
Okay, once we will know where we are at when we turn in our spring count, because after the spring count, that's the spring count is what they're going to use to put into that 3-year average for our budget for next year.
Okay, so basically you're saying you have the 3 years, and the 3 years is always shifting.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I'm
They're
asking.
Dropping off the back end.
It keeps moving.
I understand the process. Yeah. I understand the process. I'm just asking.
We won't know for sure.
But where are we at? Well, we do know where
till
we're
March.
Sitting right
now. Well, I can tell you where we were sitting at the in the budget for this year that you're
Perfect.
In right now.
So I just
Is that what
the
you want?
3 years that in this budget that we put into.
Okay.
Because that's a huge thing because we had eight or nine kids last year. Now we have five.
But if you have eight or nine kids, but at the beginning of the school year, mm-hmm. but when you do your spring count, which is the one that counts, mm-hmm. you only have three, that's
I
all
had
they
eight.
Use.
So that's what I'm looking at. That's all I'm asking. I just want to know.
You had eight kids last year at spring count?
Yeah.
I'm going to look. I'm going to look
I
it
did.
Up. Okay.
I think there were eight.
Yes, there was eight.
I know.
Seven went on the field trip.
Yes.
That would be good.
I know. That's why I'm confused.
Okay.
So, question, who does the school go through for health insurance? Is it like Blue Cross Blue Shield?
There are a number of offerings, I think four
we
or
use
five.
We use a school insurance company called Montana Unified School Trust. And we've used it for years now, and in fact, I do believe, I'm not on it, so I don't know, but in years past, I do believe they were offering, using Blue Cross Blue Shield. I don't know who they're using now. I know they've had some changes. I don't know.
That Montana insurance that you, for health insurance, is that the same company that does your overall insurance?
Nope.
Who does that?
MSGIA.
And that is?
Montana State?
Yeah.
Government insurance or something?
Something like that.
I'll look it up. I think
they're all under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
Our unemployment, our casualty, and...
Compensation.
Yeah.
That's
our workers' comp. Yeah. Unemployment and workers' comp and our liability are all under the same umbrella.
Okay. It's one
our
of the
health
leaders
yes.
within all of the schools. Most of the schools use them.
In every state.
Well, here.
It's a Montana, yeah.
I just compare about Montana yeah. because that's who you have to deal with.
The good news is legislation, teachers and all of us and superintendents are taking the legislation that they moved the sixth graders to count as middle school students, sixth, seventh, and eighth, because they're counted as elementary. If that gets approved, then we will get more funding for the sixth grader because middle school gets more funding than the elementary students. So that's what we're doing right now is trying to get that pushed through legislation.
And there's also, I got the advertisement from the newspaper, I think it was the Montana News, said that they're trying to raise teachers' salaries as well. Yes, Diane.
I'm not sure that is a correct statement. Because we are a K-8 standalone. If we were an elementary school that did kindergarten through fifth grade, and we had a middle school that did our sixth graders through our eighth graders, then that funding for that school, middle school, would be different. But because we are a standalone K-8, the funding is not different, does not change by grade.
I just sat through last night, and you can contact Kim Poppin, who is the Director of Public Policy and Research. Last night, I sat through an hour thing on school funding, and what she said was that combined concept is what they're going for, and they're trying to get the K-5 elementary to 6 and 8, because it takes more to teach a sixth grader all of the sciences and the things that need to be done.
And did you ask her if they were going to designate that by school, or if they were, and the schools had to be a middle school?
Well,
because the high school and the elementary school in Troy have two separate budgets, because the high school gets more money in
yes.
their budget than
yes.
the elementary. So because we aren't two schools, we're one standalone school,
it's
will
the
they
levels.
Offer that for us?
It's the grade levels, yes.
Well, the,
because I did ask the question.
The point is, it hasn't happened yet,
right.
and you still have to convince the legislature
yes.
that's also still fighting with other problems, mainly like property taxes, which is tied to how you fund schools. So they're hearing from people complaining about it. So it hadn't happened.
So anyone in the community that wants to know about the house bills going forward for the school, talk to me and I'll tell you, recommend which way to vote.
And yet they're giving back tax money on your property taxes.
That's it.
Isn't that sad?
We're now new business, first semester, yeah.
I would like for us to look in. What I see is that Diane does not want to be doing this job, and we are not doing a good job of getting somebody else to do it. And we're trying. We've got stuff out there.
I know.
But I think that we need to look hard at health insurance, if that is something that people are hearing about, that might induce somebody to come and
my,
work at
the school. And my question is, how many hours do you work on it weekly?
It depends.
I know, but roughly
24, 28.
Not even that much anymore.
So
I've cut it way back. So it's like minuscule because it doesn't really take me that much to do it. Somebody who's new is going to be more.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I mean, a lot of places, businesses, when you have a part-time
9 to
worker,
16 hours a week is what I work.
But a lot of what I'm
except
saying,
1 week a month when the board meeting is.
But part-time workers aren't necessarily given full benefit. They're,
right.
They're given
partial. Yes.
And so that's something
yes.
we could maybe
yes.
consider.
Yes.
Well, I've made notes to look at this.
Okay.
As far as health insurance, I will see what the requirements are, plus see what kind of incentives we can get
yes.
and what the costs would be to the school.
Yeah.
And to the person, because they generally have their share of it.
That's right.
It may not be as attractive an option as possible, but I'll get that out and
thank you.
Okay. I'll circulate it amongst the board so we can look at it.
In your particular case, you might want to make it look attractive.
Yeah.
I've already advised
it's like
them
a
they
steak
need to
dinner
offer
monthly
that person $20
something.
An hour at least to start.
Well, so here's
people who wash toilets.
We have
in the
a we have a fan. We have a
how much?
20 or more.
How
we have,
much?
I don't know.
Yeah, more like 35.
Yeah.
Wow. We have a comment.
So, I know that the clerk job is not a full time position, right? But there's also the part of having another adult in the building, and maybe the job isn't full-time, right? It's 2.5 days or
3 days a week.
But if the person applying for the job could work as a para in the classroom mm-hmm. for maybe a little less pay on her para days, you know, and make it more of
more
a full-time,
attractive.
Because then not only is that more attractive to somebody, but also it helps with in classroom. Yes, there are, you know, 5 kids, but we have to realize that they're all at different grade levels. You know, it's a chore, and 50% of the kids are mine, and I know they're a chore. So, I think that would help in so many different aspects of it, you know, getting a part-time para in here along with Lee on Wednesdays, maybe not have them obviously the same day because that's we don't need 3 adults in here, but like that, I mean, that alleviates a lot of problems, kind of in a mixture of, you know, a little pieces of the pie here and there.
I've thought about that, but what I'm gonna have to do is also look at where the funding comes from,
right.
And how you pay that person, what funds are available to pay that person, because they don't all come out of the same hopper.
Right. Yeah.
And
no, I understand the whole funding thing is tough.
We're having to like look at different funds to see what's available, but I still have to get applications.
Yeah.
I haven't told anybody no. I mean, I didn't say don't send me your application. I'm actually asking, and the rest of it, I mean, when it comes down, it becomes a negotiable thing.
Right, yeah.
And we don't even have anybody to negotiate. So all of this...
All of these people that you folks are hearing about, get them to apply.
Yeah.
Back.
There's an application on the...
Back to you.
There's an application
yes.
online.
Everything they need to apply
on
is on the web, school's
I'm
website.
Talking. There's an application online... you can pull it down, fill it out online, and ship it back to Diane. And Diane, she knows my phone number. She calls it regularly.
45 times a day.
Yeah, and I get emails from Diane. That's how we usually communicate. So for me to get something like that, hallelujah. That'd be wonderful. So, but I'm not getting them.
What is, if it's not too personal, what is the clerk's wage or salary?
That's public.
$18.75 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That gets, I think.
I just have a couple of questions on those. So, when, prior to Diane decreasing hours, when I came on board, how many hours were you working, Diane?
6 hours a day, 4 days a week.
So 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So we're down
24
to
hours a week. Yeah.
So we're down to 16 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so for that, I just want you to know that those duties came over to your teacher. Okay? Added duties, those hours. So like the library. That was huge. Okay? The ordering, all of that Diane was doing. And so then it was just, I'm just pointing out that that was huge. So it came over to the teacher.
Well, it'd be nice and to get a clerk in here.
Well, I'm just saying, because looking at the hours that she's doing right now, compared to the hours that she did when I was hired, that's what I'm saying. Is because if we're looking at a clerk and we're saying you're only going to work 9 to 16 hours.
That's not going to happen.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
That isn't going to work. Okay. It'll be about the 20. I assumed it'd be about 24 hours.
Okay. So just as
it's
long as
not,
I know that. Yeah.
I can't work more hours because I signed up to retire.
No, that's fine.
And that's why
I can't make more money.
She's trimmed it down.
To work more. I'm just saying.
When we do hire someone and Diane is training them, or I think Sabrina said something else about like online training. But do we have the funds to pay both Diane and the new person training?
Not if you're going to pay them $20 an hour or more. Nope.
So during training, then we could pay them less, and then when she steps away, they basically get a raise because we're not paying two people.
That was the contract that we had with DeRay, the last clerk. So
what did she start out at?
15?
Yeah, because she had absolutely no accounting background whatsoever. But you can hire somebody else who has accounting background and has a better understanding about budgets and accounting. You can't start them at 15. That was something that she agreed on.
Unless
and she wanted to move here really bad and wanted to work.
Unless there's another incentive, and we're looking like Mr. Zacchio said, like health insurance or something like that. So that's one of the things we have to look at. But we're taking a lot of time on this.
Yeah. Can I ask my next question, please? Because I'm not finished. I've had my hand raised.
Well,
can I
understand. Yes, if you'll. We need to trim it down time-wise.
I understand that, but I still have questions following up on this conversation.
Well, we can answer them later.
My question is that when Diane got hired, her and Susie said that who did y'all say could come in here, but it would cost a lot, Diane?
MASBO.
MASBO
does outsources training, but it is an hourly rate and it is expensive.
Can we look into that
yes.
to see what that hourly rate is? Because
and
if we don't get any applications, and Diane had made it clear last time she's leaving, what is our backup plan?
Mm-hmm. That's the backup plan. We'll be forced into that as a backup plan. There's
okay,
no
that's
option.
That's why I'm asking if we could go ahead and look at it and see what the cost is. I would like to know what the cost is.
We should look at
okay.
it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I got
that
enough.
That is it.
All right. Now, new business. First semester transportation claims.
You go to new business. In your book, Dave, there is the list of this semester's claims that will be turned in and submitted, so I need you to sign that.
Okay.
What are they, a total of
$841.68 for transportation claims.
For the first half of the year. And we have a new student who will be doing transportation. Did Noah fill out his transportation contract?
Yes.
Could I have that, please?
Yes.
While we're on that, we need to note that IRS is increasing the standard mileage rate for business use in 2025. Key rate increases 3 cents to 70 cents per mile. Is that what Montana authorizes?
No, that's the feds. We follow the Fed schedule.
Okay.
3 cents to
70 cents.
I like it.
Oh, you want
it right now?
That's my
kind.
Okay.
So, does adding someone to our transportation, does that put a strain on it?
I have to do a budget amendment for every person that comes into the school after the main transportation budget is approved.
But that does not come out of the general fund.
No.
Right, but I mean, we approved the budget and it was pretty tight with two transportation, you know.
Well, we get paid whatever it is that your mileage is for the whole school year. And what we do is we anticipate that you will be transporting your children for every day of the school year, but if your child is absent, then you don't get paid for those days. So we budget for 360 days or 300, whatever, how many days there is of the school year.
Yeah.
But there is only one child in the year that, last year I think, maybe, that made the whole year without an absence. So
does the school bill the state and the state gives the school those funds and then the funds get transferred to the parent? How's the transportation fund made up of?
Okay, so I submit online the transportation budget to the state and the county, and the county and the state appropriate that money. And then the state right away gives us a portion of the first half of the year's money right at the beginning of the school year. Okay? Then the county, they have to collect the taxes. And as they collect the taxes for the money for the transportation portion of the budget, school budgets, then they deposit the money under Fund 110. Then, at the end of the school year, the very last bill that I send or claims form that I submit to the state, then the state will take whatever money I need that they owe us, that they haven't paid us already, and they pay us, and the county does the same thing.
Okay. The reason I was asking is, if it was coming out of the school's budget and it would help the school to not receive it, then I was just going to opt out to not receive it and just let you guys keep the money. But that's not how it works.
No.
Okay. But that's a nice gesture, but fair. Yep. All right. Approval of the new transportation contract.
I need you to sign this. I don't know his mileage. I just need you to sign that and then at this official meeting and approve that new contract. I'll get it put in the system this week, and then you'll have to sign the one that's printed out.
So we need to move to approve it?
Huh? Yes, we need to move to approve.
I move that we approve this new transportation contract.
I second it.
I concur.
And I don't know what the rate will be right this minute. I have to enter that into the system, the transportation portal. And
I signed it somewhere.
Awesome.
All right, review the travel pay schedule.
You need to make a motion. That's that whole IRS mileage thing.
Okay.
I move that we accept the IRS standard mileage rate for 2025.
I second that.
I concur.
Which is 70 cents per mile.
All right, the next item on the agenda is the MASBO P-Card program. Currently we have credit cards that the school uses, and what we're looking at, what I was looking at, was going to what's called the P-Card program, and this is no cost, no fee, no charges, and you get a rebate. Created to maximize procurement benefit for schools and help associations. It's association sponsored, and the P-Card provides rebates to schools that could not be obtained separately. They have, as part of this program, is 1,400 school districts and municipalities, 23 participating states, and 50,000 cards issued. They also give rebates, and they last year was about $7 million in rebates. MASBO P cards are used. This is the list for this year, for 2023 through September of 2024. They also have a list as to, and it's, well, Troy's on it. And these are the schools in Montana, and it's four pages. Most all schools. Our school superintendent was surprised when she found out we weren't on it.
Does this seem like a good idea to you?
It seemed like it, because the rest of the schools are on it, and the way it works is you have to fill out an agreement.
Can you just use it like a credit card?
Yes, you look through
the cards are loaded, is the way that it works. Instead of having a credit card that has a $1,500 limit or whatever our cards have on them, each person that you want to have a card can have a card, and then they request money. If they want to, if they're buying something, then they make a request. Is there a phone off the hook somewhere?
Sounds like your phone. Someone called and left a message, I heard that.
Oh, maybe it
was him. Oh. Anyway, where was I?
They request.
So, yes, they request the money, then the card is loaded with that amount of money so that there isn't a problem with overspending.
Okay, and businesses accept these cards as payment?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
It's like
I believe
card.
It's like a MasterCard.
It works like a debit card.
Yeah, it's a MasterCard.
Okay. It works, yeah. But
through the Boston
Bank.
There's
money involved in the account. They go ahead and pay up to a certain amount.
There is record, a lot of record keeping.
There's also an accounting system that works with it as far as somebody has to approve it, and it goes in, and that would be sent to the clerk to approve, and then it's they kick out reports as to what's purchased, how much, and that way, you know, it isn't like a regular credit card where you just see that it was charged to different, to who the payee was that received the money. That's how most credit cards give you the bill, you know. But this actually shows where it was, and then you have the supporting documentation built into the system because it had to get approved as a procurement. I mean, you know, the military, I think,
I personally, yes, think it's a good idea, but I have to tell you that there is additional paperwork that has to be done by those using the card, which is, as Sabre says, just more time-consuming things to do. But when you have your new clerk, if she's doing all the purchasing, or the majority of the purchasing, then that's not a problem, because that'll just be part of her duties, you know? If there's something that the teacher needs that only the teacher really understands what it is, that's when the card, when the teacher would say, okay, I have found these things, I need these things, I'm filling out a request, I need my card filled so that I can order this stuff.
It's just like filling out an Amazon request. I mean,
you don't. But we don't do that any requesting here. If you want to order it, then you just order it.
Who's the one that got the money? The clerk issues the card. Does the school budget fund the card?
The school budget
and then it bills you back.
What?
No, the school would put money on the card for you. The school loads the card.
The way it works is whoever's purchasing here, be it Artie or Sobri. It's a debit card. It could be known as a preloaded debit card
for purchases.
What's the advantage of it in no interest? And you already pay your bill at 30 days. So.
And my question would be is, if I need something and we only have a part-time clerk, how am I going to get hold of them? I need to make sure. Is it going to stay loaded, or is it every single purchase has to be?
Well, I think the best bet is that you have a card that is for classroom supplies, and that card can be loaded with whatever the school budgeted that year for supplies. Then you don't have to worry about going over your budgeted amount. If you run out and it's not the end of the school year and you need more money, then you can go to the board and you can say, look, you budgeted this much money for me for supplies this year and I'm already done. I've used it all. We need to go into the budget and we need to move things around and I need more budgeted money for supplies.
Because I have to go through Title I and all of that. And so, but yeah. But when I use the credit card and when I do Amazon, I have to keep every single receipt and I turn them into Diane and justify or tell her so.
The way that it's working, right?
That's after the fact.
That's after the fact. This is before the fact.
I never think ahead of time.
Makes a person think.
I'm working.
When you're buying something, you have to think about it. All government agencies, I thought, did this. I was kind of surprised when I found out we don't. I mean, and so was the superintendent. She was surprised that we didn't, because
it does need to be looked into, but it's something that's really not going to be doable until the beginning of next school year, because it takes 4 to 6 weeks to be approved for this card. Then to get the whole system set up, which, you know,
and then once we get the system set up, then we could start. But in the meantime, we'd have to still rely on the credit cards that we have that we're using.
And then we can cancel the credit cards that we have.
And just what we're doing is going to a procurement system instead of a, I need this, order this.
Can
and
you
then
see all that paperwork? Bob, ask a question.
Diane, I appear that, I assume that there's a pin. Safety pin number built on
yes,
the card.
Everything. Yes.
And is there a maximum amount?
Yes, you can limit it.
Yes, that's what the whole beauty of it is, that the cards can be loaded, and it is a MasterCard, by the way. Bob, to answer your question, we get a rebate from MASBO at the end of every year. So it's almost like having a credit card where you get 2% for everything that you buy. That's what it's like. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it looked good to me. I mean, it's an accounting function for the school so that
it protects everyone.
Everyone knows what's going on, and then at the end of the day, everybody. And you actually know, I sort of figured it'd be an assist to the teacher or anybody else who uses it, because you're having to budget. So you say, you got $1,500 for widgets in the resource room. Well, and if you don't keep on top of your inventory like that, then at the end of the day, you could overorder and then you've exceeded your budget, not knowing it, and then it gets paid, and then the clerk goes, hey, we're over budget here. But in the meantime, if you have a procurement system, you order, once you fill out your order, that goes through the computer
channels,
system.
Yeah.
And it's looked at before it gets placed and spent. Because say, hey, you're over, and then somebody has to start thinking, where's this money coming from?
But that's a single item, right? How do you load the card? Okay, for school supplies, I need a 2x4 or something like that. I don't know how that works in here.
Well, because the teacher usually orders the supply. She knows what she needs for classroom supplies, so it would be her responsibility to order those, so her card would be loaded with the budget for classroom supplies.
That's what I'm getting.
And the request goes to the clerk.
What,
are
you
going to
have 4 or 5 different cards?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Well, we have 2. Actually, you don't need 4 or 5. 2 would probably do it. 1 for the teacher and 1 for the clerk.
Because most of the stuff that Artie gets, we get at Ace or Larson Lumber, and we have accounts with them.
Or the clerk can order it for Artie.
Right.
Okay.
So I would envision 2 cards.
Because that's what
we
have now. 1 is held by the in the clerk's name, and 1 is in the board and Pam's name.
Okay.
And the only reason it's in Pam's name is because Pam was on the card before when she was the chairperson. And Sabre holds my card for when she has to go get things. I don't even hold the card because I don't buy anything on the card. Everything that I use the card for is already automatically set up in this. With Amazon, that card is used and to pay the light bill and the phone bill. So I don't even use the card. It is in my name because I'm the district clerk, but...
For the board, Pam, did I answer your questions pretty well?
Yes.
Okay. Ken, do you have any questions?
No.
I don't seem to know
whether
I want to do that or not.
Well,
they never ask.
Do you want to take it under advisement? And then maybe, Pat, if you want to, it is a big change. Do you want to feel good about it?
Look at it next month.
Okay. You want a table list for next month? Then we'll put this on. Add the MASBO's P-card program, put on February 25 agenda. Okay, resolution authorizing issuance of individual
we don't
procurement
need that,
card, put also on February 25th agenda. I'm going to jump down for policy review, put those on February 25 agenda.
This is going to shorten up this meeting.
Yeah. Teachers report. We had monthly student activities.
I am going to incorporate that tomorrow in our Winter Wonderland program now. And just not go over it right now. It's all going to be brief tomorrow with video and their art walk.
Okay, and what time is your 1 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, okay.
Parents don't pick the kids up at 3:30. They stay here, we final prep, and then we get to go through our stuff.
Okay, 4 o'clock tomorrow, and is that on the school's website as well as the community page? Okay. On pilot.
Uh-huh. I'm not storing, that's the dog.
Oh, that's okay. All right, well now, clerk's report and expenditures, clerk's report. Oh, I would back up. Didn't the kids have testing this past week? I think I came
that
in.
That was last month. We reset it last month, how it went.
Last in December?
November or December, I don't remember.
I came in and maybe it was right before.
That was, we do our monthly STAR testing.
That's it.
Monthly STAR testing and ASAP testing. So I don't ever brief those.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the build up to the testing. The window opened yesterday, or Monday, for the second set of state testing.
Okay. All right.
Okay, clerk's report. I would like to, in your binder, there should be under clerk's report an email from the property and casualty guy at MSDIA, Matt Comack. The process for our renewal starts tomorrow. I will be receiving it says tomorrow morning you will receive 3 separate emails from our policy manager system. This is the auto building and mobile equipment schedules needs to be filled out. And so also the crime insurance application for commercial crime policy and governmental crime policy needs to be completed and turned in. If I have any questions, I will... get with you, or if you have any questions, you can get with me about this application. But the process has already started for our property and casualty renewal. And I would like to mention that this particular insurance company, because they work with basically with only the schools, and we are so small, we only pay about $1,300 a year for our insurance, so it's really, like, it's cheap, I think, for casualty and liability.
In looking through this, too, the their underwriter on it looks like AIG. Large.
Yeah. That's for that part of it, the commercial crime and government crime portion. I don't know. I don't really know a lot about insurances, to be honest with all of you. So, but
AIG is huge. It's worldwide.
Yeah. So, I think because they have so many members that belong to this consortium.
That's insane.
I mean, practically every school in the state of Montana is under this. So the more they have, the less they have to pay, kind of thing. It's kind of supposed to be how the health insurance program works, but it doesn't seem to be that way, in my opinion. But there is a new health insurance trust that they're working on for schools, which may give us a break.
And on the health insurance aspect, that's what we were hearing last year. So when we were making up the budget this year and considering that for the clerk, Montana is trying to put together a trust for the schools so that they can self-insure on that.
Yeah.
And but that's gone on for about 2 or 3 years at least. I've been on the board. Mm-hmm. But they're getting closer and closer trying to do that.
Maybe this legislative session.
It would be a welcome relief. Okay.
So anyway, the application is there for you to look at if you want, and you can advise me as to whether you want to change our limits and our deductibles. Please look at that and then email me what you think should be. Our deductibles are sitting at $5,000 for all of them. Employee theft, forgery or alterations, inside theft or money and securities, inside robbery or other property outside the premises, computer fraud, funds transfer fraud, money orders and counterfeiting, and are all set with a deductible of $5,000 with a total limit of $500,000. Because our school is, as we all know, doesn't spend all that much money. The most money we ever spent at the school is probably the year that we did the foundation. And that was,
555,000.
Yeah, something like that. So, anyway, if you wouldn't look those over and let me know if you think that any of that needs change. I also would like to get permission from the board to pursue an ACH payment for our medical insurance. Almost all but this and my workers' compensation and or quarterly is paid by automatic transfers through the county's bank account for us. The only reason I'm asking about this is because we had a check that went missing in the mail. And when a check goes missing in the mail and it has run through the county, I got to get a bond, a surety bond, and all this, everybody has to sign off. And anyway, it's a pain in the rear. I would really like to have our MUST health insurance payment, since they do have that option, to be as put on automatic ACH payment every time I process payroll, instead of printing a check.
Do we have a motion?
I move that we do what you just said.
Okay.
Make an ACH payment.
Make the health insurance payment made by ACH instead of a check.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I will get with Sedaris at the county and find out exactly what it is I have to do that. Okay, let's go on to finances.
I concur.
Okay.
Thank you. No, I was contemplating.
Okay, financials. In November, we have not balanced November yet, and we will never balance November with the county because the county made a mistake in the amount of money that they paid our employees on their November payroll. So the only way to fix that is to reduce in January, because December's paid checks are already been deposited. And so in January, when I pay their payroll, I am going to adjust those amounts that they get paid by the amount that they were overpaid in November by the clerk or by the county treasurer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all the rest of the accounts in November balance, with the exception of Fund 187, which is the warrants. And the reason it doesn't balance is because they set the ACH too high at the bank and process that number instead of the true number. I process the true number. My number is right. The county is wrong. So what I would like to do is I would like to go over November's papers and balance and get approval to go forward with November being out of balance, because I've explained it, and then move on. December we do not have yet, so we won't be doing December because we don't have balanced numbers from December. But we can review that, we will be reviewing the detailed expenditures for December.
What's the total of the two?
$64.40.
$62?
$64.40.
Okay, do we have a motion to
question first?
Yes.
So in January, it will be corrected so that we balance again?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I move that we
accept the discrepancy.
Accept the November imbalance and move forward, and that balance will be corrected in January.
Correct.
$64.40.
Yes. Right.
Okay. Concur.
Okay, so all the detailed expenditures for November are here, and the revenues. I'll just quick go over the revenues, okay? $28,708.15 in the general fund, $4,937.70 in the miscellaneous fund, and $1,370.30 in the building reserve fund, for total revenues in the month of November of $35,016.15. And then if you go, you already actually saw the detailed expenditures for November, but here they are again. If you would like to look them over, have questions, you can let me know. The cash reconciliation for November, there's a note on here. Fund 187 is out of balance due to error made by county. They will be fixing this in January. Nature of the error was a mistake in payroll ACH and can only be fixed by adjusting the January ACH, as December ACH is already processed. So you can look across at the county's cash report, see all the balances, all of them balance with the exception of the very last one, which she has the balance at $5,585.72. The true balance is $5,650.34. So that, I've explained it all to you. And you've already made your motion, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go on to December. There's the detailed expenditures for the month of December. We will not be voting on this one because we don't have the numbers from the county yet, but we'll go over them anyway, the numbers, at least the expenditures. $5,490.49 in the general fund, $588.28 in the retirement fund, $15,119.84 in the miscellaneous programs, and $610.51 from the building was spent out of the building reserve fund for total expenditures by this report. But what you have to understand is look at the top of page, that last page, see that $11,113.35 and the $373.26 on the next page, or on the previous page, and the $747.25. Those are JV entries where I moved our indirect cost from the grant PRC code to the indirect cost PRC code. So the way to do this is to expense it out of one PRC code and into another PRC code. That's why it shows up here in this miscellaneous programs expenditures. What really actually was spent, money distributed out to vendors and for things, was really only $2,896.98. The rest of that is moving expenditures.
You said, do I have this page?
Keep going.
You moved the accounts.
Oh, no, you don't have that page.
Okay.
You moved an account from which account to which account?
I moved the indirect cost. You have to accept it as a revenue because you asked for it from the state as grant money. So it has to be revenued into the proper PRC code for that grant. Then once you have it in that grant, in your total revenues for that grant, then you have to move it out of that grant into a new PRC code, which you create those for indirect cost. And that's what I did.
Okay.
I asked for $363.26 of indirect cost out of Title 1 and Title 2 or Title 5 was $746.25 and ESSER was $11,113.35. Those are the amounts that I took out of those grants because they weren't really money that we spent on those grants in actuality. Mm-hmm. Not anyway. It's confusing. I know it is, and I apologize. Yeah. But it is what it is. And this money is the money that you have sitting there that will help you be able to afford to pay your clerk the $20 or whatever an hour you want to start them at. Because you are sitting on a pot of money that can be used for administrative cost, even though it's federal grant money. Okay?
Yep. Got it.
Some of it is spent. I'm trying right now not to spend any more of it because my salary was coming out of it when we still had another clerk here. And also I was taking out the rent that paid for that other, for the outside office. And I've stopped doing that. I'm now taking that out of the general fund because the general fund money needs to be spent because you can't move it around. You spend it or lose it. So now I'm paying my salaries and the rent out of the general fund so that we can dissipate that money that was budgeted in the general fund for the clerk. Okay. All right. hope that all makes sense. Probably not, but I can't explain it any better.
So we don't vote on that. So we're now.
No, we're now in January detailed expenditures. So far, general fund $623.30, miscellaneous fund $484.99, and a building reserve fund of $1,297.88, for total expenditures for $2,406.17. Okay, and it's all detailed right there on this one page, this single page right here, exactly what all of that is. That is seems to be a big number for the building reserve fund, but we had to buy those stupid batteries for that defibrillator and new pads, which were $586. Yeah, and let's see, the sink, installing the sink, that was a little spendy. Yeah, $450 plus the parts for it, which were $81.88. So.
The defibrillator.
And $200 for, $200 for plowing. So. All right, last page is our general fund expenditure budget. So right now we are sitting at 68.61% in under instruction. 100% under elections, because we haven't spent any yet. 67.28% left in administrative. Operations and maintenance is 41.55%. So overall is 62.82%. So we're okay. We are at, we're halfway through right now. About, so yeah, we're okay.
Perfect.
And that's all I have. Anyone have any questions?
You have a
fun
question.
Did you say $200 or $400 for snow plowing?
$200.
The county used to do it.
The county used to.
They don't do it anymore.
Yep, they won't do it anymore.
Yeah, they took that out last year.
Did that include the shoveling?
That was another 90.
Okay.
So 290. I haven't paid that one yet. That's why it didn't show up on here. I'll get that check processed as soon as possible and get Dave or somebody to sign it. Yeah, everybody, all the schools are feeling it because the county doesn't plow on any of them anymore, and they've shortened up some of the bus routes too. So.
And their response
was. How many times was it plowed?
Four. He gets paid $50 a trip. Gary Lynch up there, and he just whenever Spray tells him, he comes down.
It's the same thing as the sidewalks every 3 to 4 inches.
Yeah.
It needs to be plowed.
Yeah.
I just told him I'm not calling every day.
Yeah.
You have the same snow I have. 3 to 4 inches. Sure. Please just come and plow.
He just kind of throws it in to.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And it's been good. Fabulous.
And who sands? Does he sand it too?
No, actually, I don't know. The county's been.
I sent them an email and asked if they would.
They came back in and thrown the sand.
That's great.
Yeah. And they sand up here.
That's nice.
Any public?
And they back up here when they're plowing. They back in here, and then they just pull out and go again instead of just doing a loop through.
Go figure.
Like,
okay. Anyway, any public comments? Or at that portion of the agenda for public comments.
I'll be public comment.
Well, it's Wednesday afternoon, and it's now.
I'd like to make a comment, please.
Huh?
I was saying I'd like to make a comment, please.
Okay.
I just added it up, and the students brought in $1,500 for the Yak Wings Walk.
Really?
Wow. So
good for them.
We'll be getting with Roberta and presenting our big check, and
She gives these beautiful certificates, so I'm very excited.
Well, let's make sure that makes it into the minute that they made over $1,500.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. I know. It's $1,500 because I rounded my check way up so I could get it to $1,500.
512. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Nice job.
Okay, so I sent you both, Roberta.
So, we have some rain.